Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' The answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The world is a mess. Don't know whether you've noticed or not. And reflecting on this a few days, indeed, I guess as a priest probably, reflecting on it every day, no one is suggesting that my age group lived through a golden age, although occasionally my children tell me that, least of all me. But whether it's a function of me getting older or not, it does feel like everything at the moment is a bit like wading through treacle. There are so many places in human life where that life is not valued. Quite clearly, in Gaza at the moment, and more generally, when we think about how people seem to be going to the extremes and issues seem to have greater polarization around them, so that people are taking up their positions, as it were, a long way from each other and unable in many ways, in many situations, to find any common ground in the middle. And that's really difficult because it's poisoning the debates that need to be had around really difficult things like immigration, for example, like the welfare of some of our marginalized groups in society, our minorities, like the treatment of women, for example, in our society, moral relativism as well, where so many of us are the victim of, or victims of, an anything goes culture in which we think we're going to find the answers to our problems. Where we look, for example, especially at intimate relationships or possessions as somehow being able to fill the void of meaninglessness in our lives. So, in a world that has never been so full of advice and answers, apparently, to all our problems, so you just start scrolling if you want to find an answer to something, it's never felt more the case, certainly in my lifetime, that the world has been more devoid of answers. Now, this could be that we're over-communicated with. So, for example, we've got 24-hour news coming at us for 24 hours, and it's, as it were, more in our faces. The bad news hits us seconds after it's happened. But actually, even if that is the case, there is a big lack, I think, of two particular qualities. One is kindness. There is a real dearth of kindness because in some people's eyes that is seen as weakness. And there's a real dearth of listening to the other person with different attitudes and different beliefs and experiences and a different background. Now, these two things might seem very simplistic when we're faced with evils like Gaza, for example, or the tragedy of Ukraine. But we need to see them in those places, but we also need to see them closer to home. We need to see kindness and listening closer to home. When, for example, we're trying to find our way through the complexities of some of our human issues in society, such as the needs of the poor, such as trans rights. Don't forget, this weekend in Nottingham there is, it's the Pride weekend. And if anyone ever doubts the need for Pride, then just remember that I think I'm right in saying in over 20 countries in the world, you can still be put in prison or receive a death sentence for being gay. So there's a lot on in terms of our social divisions, in terms of social unrest. I do need to say, though, I think, in all honesty, that the recent talk around immigration from certain quarters for warnings about social division and social unrest does, to me, feel like a self-fulfilling prophecy that simply adds fuel to the fire. We need to be more kind. We need to listen to each other more carefully. We need to stop drowning in our certainties, to always believing that our way is right, because our listening is being drowned out by the noise of our being certain about things, that we have the answers, or another person, a politician or whoever, has the answers. So, as it were, that's the background. What do today's scriptures speak into that for us? Well, certainly the Lord's Prayer provides a pattern, an approach for us Christians. It's the only prayer that Jesus taught his first friends to say, and he said it openly as a request, responding to a request from them. But it's remained firmly at the centre of our praying life, our community life as Christians. Almost every time we meet for worship, we'll say the Lord's Prayer in one form or another. And of course, it begins with Our Father in Heaven. And I'm mixing and matching a little bit with the versions, with the translation, so just bear with. But our Father in heaven, God is in his heaven and all is right with the world. Well, no, it isn't actually. I've just spent the last 5 minutes saying it isn't. And it clearly isn't, from a human perspective at least. But what we are saying is that everything that is in God. God knows about it, God cares about it, God indeed weeps over a great deal of it. And God is not powerless to do anything about it. He can do it through us. We can pray, but we can also act to make a difference. We can stand up for the marginalized. We can reach out in generosity to those who are less fortunate than we are, in whatever respect that may be. We can be God's hands and eyes and feet. But one of the things we need to do, or two of the things that we need to do whilst we're doing that, is to be listening to each other more carefully and to be more kind and generous towards one another. It's shaming to say that in the church, this church and others as well, this church is no exception, you do quite frequently hear quite unkind things about people. And then we go on to say, your kingdom come, to pray, your kingdom come. And we as Christians need to be praying for the kingdom of God to come. That is one of the most distinctive things about us. And essentially what we're saying is that we want God's way to come to fruition in our lives and in the life of the community around us. And this prayer actually gets harder as we go on. It becomes hard to pray because the kingdom of God isn't necessarily what we want, actually, in our human hearts. Now, we need not to think of it as a place or even a method, but rather the kingdom of God is the acknowledgement of the fact that God is in every area of our lives. So let's just pause for a moment, and this isn't meant as a judgment on anybody. The preacher, as I often say, preaches first to himself, and especially on this occasion. Have we acknowledged God's kingship in every area of our lives? Just pause for a little while just to think about that. Have we acknowledged God's kingship in every area of our lives? One of the things that that Jesus says about the kingdom, actually, in his stories and parables, is that it comes in unexpected ways, in hidden ways as well as in more obvious ways, in something small and apparently inconsequential, rather than as a thunderclap. It can be hard to decipher sometimes, hard to interpret, but yet we tend to know in our hearts when we're aligned with kingdom values, because we'll experience peace in our hearts, even though we might be in great suffering, actually, because we'll know joy in our hearts, even though we might actually not be very happy. Joy is something deeper than happiness. And also another sign of the kingdom is we'll be loving people when, in fact, loving them is the hardest thing of all to do. And also, I think, we'll have confidence. We'll have confidence in God's provision for us, confidence that he is there for us, even though confidence is the last thing we might feel. So some of those things, for me at least, are signs of the kingdom. And then thy will be done, which in many respects is the hardest bit of the prayer, because of course our will is very often in opposition to God's will. And that actually takes a lot of work of discernment And it can be quite hazardous because we can actually, as human beings, persuade ourselves that anything is okay if it suits our purpose and gets us what we want or where we want to be. And so our following God's will can be very easily hijacked. Sometimes following God's will is doing the hard yards of uncovering that will for our lives. And it often takes time, and it often takes a very long time. And then give us our daily bread. Well, we're asking God really to meet our needs and the needs of those who are struggling or less fortunate. We want our daily bread in order to be able to survive. Apparently, some folks in the early church in the early centuries thought it meant give us the bread we want for tomorrow. In other words, fulfill our dreams and our hopes now, today, please, if you will. Bring on everything that you've promised. And actually, when you think about it, that is at least in part our prayer in the Eucharist. So when we gather for communion on a Sunday or a Wednesday or wherever it happens to be, we're asking for bread now. We're asking to be fed. We're asking to be sustained on the journey. But we're also asking for that bread later on, that visible, eternal banquet, seeing God face to face, the fulfillment of God's promises. And that actually, if you think about it, fits in with the notion that actually we need more than material bread. We need more than our material needs to be fulfilled. Although one is tempted to say at this point, well, try telling that to the starving children of Gaza. We meet Jesus, the living bread in the Eucharist, and we glimpse a foretaste of the heavenly Eucharist, the heavenly banquet. And then forgive us our sins or trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. And this tells us straight, actually, that we need to be willing to change. When we pray those words, we're saying, basically, forgive me, please, because I've forgiven somebody else. But Rowan Williams, a former Archbishop of Canterbury, says, it's through God's forgiveness of us that we learn to forgive. And I think that's really important. I've said occasionally, I think over the years, condemnation achieves nothing. But actually, recognition of the fact that we are forgiven releases so much forgiveness in us. And forgiveness is really hard. It is in our capacity to forgive other people that we can show that we've been forgiven too. And then, lead us not into temptation or the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. And we need to remember that early Christians foresaw a great crisis, a time of trial where difficult choices would need to be made. And in this prayer, we are essentially praying, don't bring us to this moment, to this time of trial, without giving us what we need to face it. Now, whether or not we're thinking of the end times there, the apocalypse, whatever you want to call it, what we need to pray is that we are prepared for whatever comes in the future, now or later. And that we're tempted to not look away, to turn away from God and to look to other things and other people for our salvation. Whether or not we believe in the devil, evil is a reality. Evil is the enemy of our humanity. And we need to look no further than the news headlines to see that this is true. When there's lots of fear and uncertainty, and kindness and a willingness to listen are in very short supply, as I said at the outset, I think there's a lot of that at the moment, then evil can thrive. Evil can manipulate us. Evil can intensify our fears. And evil can make our sins bigger than they really are. It can rob us of our hopes and our dreams. And it can make the most of our weaknesses. It can encourage easy answers to complex problems. And so we do need to pray to be delivered from evil. Amen.